the Gospel by Luke, and we'll take a reference in chapter 12. Luke's Gospel, and in chapter 12. And at verse number 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that of no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Let's go back to the book of Psalms, please. I'll trouble you for a reference in Psalm 102. A beautiful psalm, but we'll just take time to read the reference that I'm looking for. Psalm 102. And let's read verse number 6. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch, and I am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Let's go back again to Psalm 84, please. Same book of Psalms, but this time Psalm 84. Almost ashamed just to read the reference here. I'll trouble you. At the end of the psalm, it says, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. At the beginning of the psalm, verse number 1 says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. It's verse number 3 that I want. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Verse number 7, 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca, simply means weeping, who passing through the valley of weeping, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion, appearing before God. I'll trouble you for one final reference in the book of Leviticus. Seems a strange reference, almost at the close of a conference. I can almost hear you say it. You're reading in Leviticus. Leviticus 14, please. Leviticus 14. And at verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds. Now, if you've got a marginal reference there, you will notice it's exactly the same word there. 2 sparrows, alive and clean. And cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed. Notice this. In an earthen vessel, over running water. And as for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop. And shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times. And shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field, and he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, wash himself in water, that he may be clean, and after that shall he come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. Now we look for the Lord's gracious blessing, and the help of his Spirit upon the reading of the Holy Scriptures. You will likely know that I was reminded of it recently, that there are 7 birds in Scripture that speak as a picture of the Lord Jesus. Now that's a very interesting study. I have read a number of them today, Three of them are found in the book of Psalms 102, the pelican, the owl, and the sparrow. There are a number of others, and it is a beautiful study to go through the scriptures and see birds that are a picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. One of them is the eagle, and I would suggest that everyone here, they know and have seen eagles. It's one of the things that I love to see. The eagle, especially our bald eagle, is a bird associated with strength. It's a bird of ability. It's a bird that we think of, a bird of power. It's a bird associated with the heights. And in fact, I've been in Iowa for a number of these winters having gospel meetings. And just at the time when we were there, the snow is melting and the ice seems to be receding. And you're traveling around on some of the roads. And very frequently, you'll see an eagle just sitting by the side of the road. And the way it looks at you, it is that imperious look. What are you doing here? It seems to be the eagle is the king of the air, as the lion is the king of birds. Well, I don't really want to speak on the eagle today. You will likely have gathered that I want to speak on the sparrow. What I want to try and speak on very quickly, from Leviticus chapter 14, I want to use the sparrow as a picture of cleansing. When we come over into Psalm 84, I see in Psalm 84, the sparrow is a picture of communion. When I look at Psalm 102, in Psalm 102, the sparrow is a picture of companionship. And finally, when we come to Luke's Gospel, the sparrow is a picture of care. And the Lord Jesus, He actually uses a diminutive in Luke's Gospel chapter 12. The little sparrows. He says, listen, all of them are numbered. And not one of them will fall to the ground without your heavenly Father knowing. He says, listen, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You know, my brethren, beloved sisters today, we have a heavenly Father, and He cares. He knows what His people are going through. And in Luke's Gospel chapter 12, the sparrow is a picture of care. When I look at Luke 14 then, we have a lovely picture here of the person of the Lord Jesus. Undoubtedly, we can see Christ in the chapter. You will see the leper. And the leper looks, and he realizes that that leprosy, through some way, we're not told in the chapter, but the leprosy has been healed. And the dear leper goes to the priest, and the priest examines the man, and he's told to bring two birds, two sparrows. And the first thing I notice in the chapter, it says in verse number 4, it says, two sparrows. Now notice this, alive. And then it says this, clean. I want you to think with me, just for a few moments, of the purity of the person of the Lord Jesus. Do you get what we read there? Two sparrows, alive and clean, the purity of Christ. You know, I look, we've been considering Christ today, and I look at a babe in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling bands, laid in a manger. Do you know what I read over that scene, my brethren? You beloved saints who are gathered, I look at a babe, God of very God, thou shalt call His name Jesus, the Son of the Highest. But I look at a babe in Bethlehem, and I realize this, He's clean. I see a boy in Nazareth, and you will agree with me, a boy of 12. He makes that journey to the temple, and we see him in the temple, and he's there with the doctors. He's both asking and answering their questions. And over the boy, do you know what I see again? Leviticus 14, verse number 4, he's clean. I see him coming in his purity up out of the waters of Jordan. I see God rending the heavens asunder. Oh, you say you're going, no, that's the word that Mark uses. He rent the heavens, and the voice from heaven, it was heard. Those bystanders, they heard the voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son. And I see a man coming up out of the waters of Jordan. And Leviticus says, alive and clean. Let me just take you for a moment into the awful darkness. We were reminded last night so forcibly and so visibly of the man that went into the awful darkness upon a cross. Into the awful crucible of suffering. Into the sorrow of dark Golgotha. Into the awful fire. From above hast thou sent fire into my bones. It prevaileth against them. But you know, my brethren,
He bare our sins. Isn't that what Peter says? 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body in the tree. And you know what I say? He was absolutely pure. Can I say it? You younger brethren, you dear younger sisters, always remember He bare our sins in His own body. And yet He was never contaminated by the sin He bore. Absolutely pure. The purity of the Lord Jesus, alive and clean. Let me take you for a moment to a garden tomb. And the tomb is empty. And there are grave clothes in the tomb. It was early in the morning when they came to where He lay. And the sun had scarcely risen on that far off eastern day. He is taken. He is taken with the anguished cry. He is risen. He is risen, was the angel's reply. Do you know what I read over it? All beloved saints gathered in Clementsville, I see an empty tomb. And I see Leviticus chapter 14, verse number 4, the purity of Christ. Alive! Oh yes, He's alive! Come see the place where the Lord lay. Alive! And clean. Can I just say again, never forget He came as pure from the garden tomb as He came from the womb of Mary. Absolutely impeccable, the Christ of God. I've had people tell me, you know, He didn't sin. He didn't, but it doesn't go far enough. You folks who are gathered here, you have heard preachers preach, and I agree with them, that He could not sin. Absolutely true, but it doesn't go far enough. You know the one that we worship? He not only did not sin, and could not sin, He could not even be tempted by sin. Alive and clean. Ah, beloved saints, right here in Leviticus 14, this sparrow, it's a picture of cleansing. And we've got the purity of Christ. I notice that we've got the poverty of Christ. Two sparrows. Now, if you caught the reference in Luke's Gospel and compared it with Matthew's Gospel, you would notice this. Matthew, he mentions two sparrows for a farthing. Basically, 1/16th of a day's wage. Come over to Luke's Gospel, and I don't want to be too light on this, but Luke says, he says, five sparrows for two farthings. Basically, things haven't changed. Buy four, you get one free. And so, it was just basically valueless. But you know what it tells me? This bird, which is linked with poor people, I mean, what could a leper bring? The offering for poor people normally would be turtle doves or young pigeons. What could a leper bring? You know what God said? Tell him to bring sparrows. Two sparrows. And I see the poverty of Christ. You know, when we come to the New Testament, there are a number of words used in the New Testament for poor. One of those words is to be poor. And it means that you're poor, but you've nothing superfluous. You are poor, but not poor to the point where there's another word, and it means destitute. Poor reduced to the point of begging. That's the word used in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. Beloved saints, today, He was absolutely destitute. The awful sorrows of God, Golgotha. He became poor. And here we are. And I think to myself, why should I ever be high-minded when the Lord of glory, He became destitute for me? You've heard the anecdote. It's very well known. Of the boy that was adopted by the king. And in fact, when he was adopted, he was in his teens. He grew up in the king's home, in the palace. And eventually, the king promoted him. He became Chancellor of the Exchequer. And every Friday, if I've caught the story right, every Friday, he would go into the tower where the money was, just to do the totals, check the finances for the king himself. And some of the king's advisors noticed that when he went, he took a chest with him. And one of them said to the king, you know, the reason why he takes the chest, he's stealing from you. So the king arranged with the advisors to go in. They stood behind the partition and they watched. And they saw the dear man. He came in. He brought his little box. He started to calculate, and he started to add, and he started to compute all the wealth of the king. And when it was done, and when everything was accomplished, he went over to the box he brought with him, and he opened it, and inside were the rags in which he was wearing when the king adopted him. And he took out the rags, and he lifted them up, and the king watched them, and he held them up, and he said, "Never forget. Never forget what you were. Never forget what he made you." You know, beloved saints, shame on me, and shame on every saint of God, if we are high-minded today. Here in Leviticus 14, we've got the poverty of Christ, the purity of Christ, and the poverty of Christ. I notice in Leviticus 14, we've got the person of Christ. I try to emphasize it in the reading. It's beautiful. Do you know what it says? One of these birds was to be taken, and it was to be killed. And you know what Moses recorded here? It was to be killed. Now catch this. In an earthen vessel. I read it. And I bowed my heart and I worshipped. You know, there was one that came from heaven. And he took to his eternal deity holy, sinless humanity. An earthen vessel. I like Philippians 2. You will remember Paul writes in Philippians 2, and he says about the Lord Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a thing to be grasped at, to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation. And then he says this, took upon himself the form of a servant. That's his humility. He was made in the likeness of man. That's his humanity. And then he says this, and being found in fashion as a man. You know, beloved saints, we've got his humility, we've got his humanity, but we've also got his individuality. He was a real man. He was a true man, just as much as you and I are. He was found in an earthen vessel. I appreciate it again. I was looking at Revelation 22 just the other day, and it speaks of God, the city. Well, hard to know what that city is. You analyze whether it's the millennial city or whether it's the eternal city. I'm just not too sure. Some things I would be dogmatic on. Not that one. Maybe the writer to the Hebrews. Did you mention it? But not the eternal city or not the city of Revelation 22. But you know what I read? The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And then it says this. They shall see his face. I personally believe that all we will see of God through the countless ages of eternity will be manifested in a man. We've got his person, an earthen vessel. We've got his purity, his poverty, his person. I notice here, we've got his provision. The priest was told, take one of the birds, kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel. And then it says this, over running water. Now, running water in Scripture is always a picture of the Spirit of God. You will remember John 7. You will recall the Lord is at the feast. And he says, out of his inwards shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. And here we've got it again. Living water or running water, the Spirit of God. Kill the bird over running water in the power of the Spirit of God. Can I just say, I would like to protect again the one that we are presenting even in ministry today. Never forget, some dear saints, and even myself at times, I have the concept that when it comes to the death of the Lord Jesus, it was so many sorrows for so many sins. That's not the biblical presentation of it. You know, beloved saints, when it comes to the death of our beloved Lord, it was an infinite sacrifice. Accomplished by an infinite person. It was a legal payment paid to God in finite time. And such is the power of that. It was offered through the eternal Spirit. Hebrews chapter 9. In the power of the Holy Spirit, the eternal Spirit, there was an infinite offering to an infinite person. And it means that I can go out and offer a bona fide, genuine offer of the gospel to every sinner. No limited atonement. No select redemption. What means a universal call, if there be not enough for all? As if the Savior passed some by, while He for other sins did die. Let hampered minds their thoughts expand, nor on such narrow footing stand. The mighty work of Jesus scan. He tasted death for every man. Quite a thing that there's one, and it's presented right here in Leviticus 14. We've got His purity. We've got His poverty. We've got His person, an earthen vessel. We've got His provision. Something that was offered, killed. I notice right here, and I won't get to the other scriptures, but that's fine. I notice right here that we've got His power. In fact, once one bird was killed, the priest was to take the other bird. Now stay with me in this. The priest was to take the living bird, and he took hyssop and cedar and scarlet wood, and he dipped them into the blood of the bird that was killed. And he took that hyssop and started to sprinkle the living bird with the blood of the bird that was killed. And the leper must have stood there. And I see him, and the leper stood, and he let it go. Right into the theater from which it came. Into the arena from which it came. Ah, but mark this, my brethren. Mark this. That bird went up bearing marks it never had before. Did you get that? Never forget there's a man in the glory. Never forget. There is a real man in the glory. And he went up bearing marks that he never had before. How shall I then know thee? Amidst those courts of health, what tokens true will show me? The object of thy love, thy wounds, Lord Jesus. Those deep, deep wounds will tell the sacrifice that cleared us from sin and death and hell. But listen, my brethren, it had marks upon it, but it went up. And this man stood with the priest, and he watched it go higher and higher and higher until he could see it no more. Never forget, there was a Thursday just outside the city of Jerusalem. And those men with the Lord Jesus stood. His arms were uplifted. And he started to go. And he went back into the arena from which he came. A real man in the glory. Let me just say again, my brethren, this is the one we worship. Is it any wonder we bow before Him? Is it any wonder we would give Him our all? This is the one we worship. The sparrow, a picture of cleansing. I really should move from that. But I notice this. I'll stay with it for this. The priest wasn't finished. Do you know what the priest did? He took the blood. And he actually dipped his hand into the blood. And he put the blood on the ear. The right ear of the leper. He took some more of the blood, and he put some of that blood on the right thumb, the great thumb of the right hand of the leper. He took some more of the blood, and he put some of it on the great toe of his right foot. And you say, what's this all about? Just this. He had consecrated the man. The man was cleansed now. And from now on, he would hear differently. Is that how it is with us? I remember the night the Lord saved me. I like music. I still like music. But then I was listening to Elvis Presley and Billy Joel and Elton John. If you don't know who these people are, the Lord bless you. I'm glad. But the next day, I thought, I had a collection of CDs. And I thought to myself, what do I do with these? So the trash can was right there. And I started and I took a handful of them. And I took them out to the trash can. I'm sorry to use a personal illustration. And I dumped them into the trash can. And I was just in to get the next handful. And I noticed my three brothers, they had followed me out. And my three brothers, they were digging out the ones that they wanted. And I thought, enough of this. Enough of this. So the next day, I had a bonfire. They couldn't believe it. Thank God I had the bonfire. Thank God. You know, when it comes to this man, God expected from this day forth, he would hear differently. God expected from this day forth, the things he would touch would be different. God expected from this day forth the places he would go would be different. Oh, beloved saints today. Beloved saints of God. Listen, we've heard about consecration. We've heard about giving our all to the Master. Do you know what he wants? He wants a consecrated ear to hear what he would say. He wants consecrated hands filled for his own glory to do what he would have you do. He wants consecrated feet to move for God. Oh, beloved, can we not burn out on the altar for God? Leviticus 14, the sparrow, a picture of cleansing. I'll not get to the rest. Let me just mention one more thing in Leviticus. There are four people in the Old Testament that were anointed, had oil poured upon them. You will remember the king. When they came to anoint the king, how did they do David? They took a horn of oil. When it was the priest, you will remember they poured oil upon the head of the high priest. You will recall when it comes to the prophet, when the prophet was anointed, there was oil poured upon his head. Ah, but there's another person. The king was anointed. The priest was anointed. The prophet is anointed. You see this man, the leper, the priest takes oil. Speaks of the Holy Spirit. The priest takes oil in his left hand. He puts some of the oil in his ear. He puts some of the oil in his thumb. He puts some of the oil in his feet. And with the remainder of the oil, he pours it upon the poor leper. And I see the leper standing back. The oil flowing, poured upon him. Do you remember the night the Lord saved his brethren? Oh, beloved sister, don't you remember the night the Lord saved you? And maybe your comprehension was just this, two sparrows. It's a picture of cleansing. Just as I finish, the sparrow in Luke's Gospel is a picture of care. In fact, in Luke's Gospel it says this, be not afraid. I do notice that every time that God says to people, be not afraid, people are fearful. We're all fearful. You remember Genesis 15, the first time it's used. Abraham, fear not. The last time it's used in Scripture is Revelation chapter 2, to a church going through the crucible of suffering. And the Lord says to the church in Smyrna, fear not. Fear none of these things. Can I just say to the saints of God as we go home today, be not afraid. He cares for us. He knows. He knows when one sparrow falls. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. You likely have read or sung the hymn. It was composed by a lady called Sevilla Martin. She went to see an invalid one day, a lady lying on a bed. And she said, well, how are you? The lady said, I'm fine. The one that watches over the sparrows watches over me. That dear lady came out and she wrote, whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. May the Lord bless us, the beloved saints of God. The sparrow is a picture of cleansing. The sparrow is a picture of communion. The sparrow is a picture of companionship. And the sparrow is a picture of care. Be not afraid. Your heavenly Father, he knows.